Brace yourselves. I'm about to tell a terrible joke involving maths. An American Indian chief took three wives. To the first, he gave a buffalo hide. To the second, he gave a deer hide. But for the third, his favourite, he sent a brave far away across land and water to retrieve the rare and highly coveted hide of the hippopotamus. Within a year, the first two squaws had each borne the Indian chief a son. In their honour, they were moved together into a spacious, comfortable teepee. The third squaw, though childless, was also moved into her own teepee. The first two squaws were outraged and complained bitterly of this inequity. They, who had borne sons for the chief, had to share a tent, while the third and childless squaw got one to herself. So the chief explained, "The sons of the squaws of the two hides are equal to the squaw of the hippopotamus." Thank you. Right, I hope I don't need to explain, because that never helps a joke. Now, Jesus' listeners must have thought that Jesus was joking as well. For us today, it makes zero business sense to invite workers at first light, and then more as the day went on, finally, the last ones worked for just 1 hour. And to rub their noses in it, so it seemed, the last ones who strolled in and tooled around for a while worked for an hour in good conditions and got their pay first. I'd know what I'd do the next day, wouldn't you? Yeah. And by the way, the pay was one denarius, which is equal to a Roman soldier's daily wage. I tried to put it in today's terms, but it would be more than the minimum wage, which is 177 a day, and the average wage is 367, so it would be somewhere in between. So I'll take a shot. Roughly $250 in today's coin. It just helped me to get a little bit of a picture. I'm standing in line with all the other sweaty workers, and we've been hard at it all day. I see the landowner, and he's wealthy. And he gives $250 to the guys who just came. I should be getting as much as $367 at least. And I would be very upset getting the same as the one-hour guys. Now, when I was in primary school, I'm bearing a lot of spiritual stuff here. There was a guy in my class, Dale Smith. Dale was good-looking, always dressed neat. He had his hair set perfect and gelled so it stayed that way all day. Dale was good at sport, but the most envious thing about him was his lunchbox. His mum packed a nice sandwich and a bit of fruit, but there was always a treat. It could be a cake or a slice and sometimes a bar of chocolate. Dale would have a lot of friends that day. I might have tried to be one of them. Fast forward to high school. Lunchtime would become a session of terror when Collis Bauer would approach and demand that we share our sandwiches with him. Collis didn't have the same home support that we had, and especially Dale Smith. But we didn't know that, neither did we care. Collis took the bully approach, and he was well equipped to do that. We all used to say we had peanut butter because Collis didn't like it. But you had to be careful when you said that, because if he inspected your sandwiches, it wasn't pretty. Now, all that came from a devotion I found that explained this scenario pretty well. But first, the problem with the parable of the workers is that it makes no earthly sense. And neither should it. It's not about us. It's about God. Jesus starts with, the kingdom of heaven is like this. Not the world should work like this. It's about God's kingdom, God's choice, God's reward. And as usual, there was a direct message to the leaders of the community. Jesus was quietly accusing them of coveting God's power in choosing who comes into the kingdom and who doesn't. They were looking into God's lunchbox and saying, we want that power. We want to be able to forgive. We want to be able to judge on your behalf. And we want to be able to manipulate religion to suit ourselves. So the message to his followers was similar. In the devotion I read, it outlined a little girl who looked into her best friend's bowl and saw something she really would have liked, much like Dale Smith's, I imagine. She told her dad, and he explained that she would be better looking into the bowl of others who had less, like my old mate, Collis Bauer, because looking into her best friend's bowl made her covet what she couldn't have. Now, in the Philippians reading, Paul was in prison and contemplating his possible execution when he wrote this. He said, to me, living is Christ, and dying is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labour for me, and I do not know which I prefer. I'm hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, as that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary for you. And since I'm convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with all of you for your progress and joy in faith, so that I may share abundantly in your boasting in Jesus Christ when I come to you again. And this is key. Live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent and hear about you, I will know that you are standing firm in the faith. I will know that you are standing firm in one spirit, striving side by side with one mind for the faith of the gospel, and are in no way intimidated by your opponents. Gosh, he's a glass half full type, isn't he? Says that dying's preferable, so he can be with Christ. But if not, I'll hang with you guys and help out. It's all win-win. He talks about fruitful labour for him and for them to live in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. No coveting, just working hard for the new kingdom that Jesus is talking about. And we all benefit the same. We have a joke that we all get paid the same around here. It's funny because it's true. None of us get paid anything. But we're not talking about money. We're talking about the fact that we all get the same heavenly reward because we have a generous and loving God waiting for the kingdom's fulfillment in us. Looking back, I should have asked Mum if she could make an extra sandwich for Collis. But I was a stupid teenage boy, and things like that, thoughts like that just didn't occur to me. Now that I'm an adult though, I have no excuse. So we must look forward and see the person with the empty lunchbox, metaphorically speaking, to seek and share with them instead of looking what others have and lusting after it.